Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Superman Returns. We had our doubts, but now after seeing it, what do we really think? Find out. For more information about the links and news we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Are y'all ready for this?
Going to geek it out.
Welcome, everybody.
I'm not near my geek things.
I'm not editing that out. That's standing.
Geek it out.
Welcome, everybody.
We should re-edit like old Salt and Pepper songs to be.
No.
No.
No one must
Come
ever
on.
Do that.
Please?
No.
Just a little?
No.
Old Bill DeVoe.
Yeah.
My name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
I am Don. I am a writer and video game professional here in Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
I am Matt King. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
I am Peter Robinson, and I'm a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Yeah.
Together, right. We are...
The Geeks Four on. Geeks of Geeks On.
Excellent.
The Fab... Well, no.
The Fab Four?
No, it's not the Fab Four.
I'm not feeling so fab right now. I just watched somebody else play Prey, and I'm feeling a little queasy.
Yeah, Don's a little greenish.
Oh, I'm so green right now.
Aaron downloaded the demo for Prey.
Yeah, the Xbox 360 demo of Prey just got released like 2 days ago.
And we strongly recommend that you all download it now. This could be the new Halo.
It's play it yourself, really, though. Don't watch someone else demo it for you.
It's really interesting.
At all. I don't know about the new Halo, but...
I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, you walked
but you didn't see the
you walked
good.
In
you didn't
for
see the beginning.
About 30 seconds
was it cool
it.
At the beginning?
The beginning was amazing.
The whole thing is just so well put together.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like there's a couple things in the demo in the first few minutes of the game that you just go, oh, that's neat. And it's like it's complete mindfucker.
Well, it's great, you know, it's the games like Half-Life 2, I believe even Doom, where you get taken through the story without cutscenes, you're still in the first person story mode. Mm-hmm. I like that. I feel more connected to the story when we don't come out of a cutscene, all the time. I mean, it works sometimes. I'm not saying it doesn't always work.
But that makes sense.
This was, the events are happening to you.
I like cutscenes as a reward. Like, if I've beat some big thing, show me a cutscene. That's my treat.
That's a little too 80s for me.
It's a formula that works for me.
I think there's a good balance between the two.
I guess you're right. Because I've seen some great cutscenes.
Well, the thing definitely did remind me of Half-Life, I have to say.
The Warcraft saga, where they basically took the cutscenes, they made the cutscenes look identical to the people who were talking to you on an everyday basis, it felt kind of cheap to me. I liked and maybe it's just because of the graphic style that they chose in Warcraft, because it was so blocky and very, very, big feet, big hands.
Oh, you're saying they use the game engine
for
the cutscenes.
For the cutscenes. And that's never been my favorite thing. I like the cutscenes because they show me a level of animation which I haven't seen before. Yeah. I'd like to see with these new things if they bring the animation up to bring the cutscenes to that point.
Well, let's actually say in the Warcraft games, like the
Warcraft 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, and 3. The animation was not that interesting. It was a strategy game, and you're correct. When you saw the animation stuff, it was so amazing and so different.
Right.
But in Prey, which we just saw, this is an Xbox 360 game. It is beautiful to watch. So, being inside the game and having the animation happen around you, really, cutting to a cutscene is not going to be that much better. Yeah. It will be better, but it doesn't feel like it's that much of a leap. So,
Hopefully. Anyway, download it. It's at least worth the free download, for God's sake. So
cool.
Anybody else have a good geek week?
No, they're bombing the Scientology building down the street right now. So I just thought you all should know that.
Did you guys notice, by the way, that the Scientology is getting a lot of flack right now on the internet? Dig.com, a lot of Snopes. And I don't know. I think just people are out to get them right now. They're all...
Well, Scientology has made a gamble in the past year and a half to become much more high profile.
Yeah, there's a mission right here.
There's been missions all over the place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay, I've never seen
years,
it be this
they've
visible.
Been everywhere.
Yeah, I'm 2 blocks from the main mission in Los Angeles, I mean, they avoid my block like the plague because, right. you know, I live in the barrio.
For those of you who don't – finish. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's all good.
I was going to say, for those of you who don't live in, like, Los Angeles where there's a huge Scientology presence, out here, you know, a day-to-day – you know, if you're walking down, say, Hollywood Boulevard where all the tourists are, there will be people out on the side of the road who will say, hey, why don't you come over here? We'll give you a free personality test. And that's sort of their they don't mention that it has anything to do with Scientology, but it's their way of kind of luring you in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I was just noticing it been taking a hit.
I do have lots of friends who like it, but...
Well, I get nervous because in my neighborhood, they're all walking around in those little Gestapo uniforms.
Yeah, kind of. You know? They are a little Aryan youth. Well, you know, maybe that's why they're bombing them.
All right. Jesus.
Moving on to geek news.
The news!
Some news!
Jesus. Well, another thing that, you know, that we're going to mention later, but, you know, I did go see Superman also was part of my Geek Week. Mm-hmm. I did not see the 3D version, so I'm curious later on to see that you guys did see that.
Yeah, the three of us went to see Superman IMAX 3D.
Right, yeah. So we'll talk about that later. All right, Geek News. Who's going to start?
I got some stuff.
Matt, Geek All right. News.
I'm actually going to break this up because it's all part of one article, which I found incredibly interesting. It's basically breaking up 10 major body myths that we have. Like, the first one is that memory loss is inevitable. Now, you know, we're basically, if you lose brain cells, that's it. One of the things is basically that we don't just use 10% of our brains. We're using all of our brains at all the time. Mm-hmm. We're just using different areas. And they specifically talk about this woman who whose name is Suzanne, who had to get a brain surgery. And she speaks four languages fluently: English, Swiss, German, French, and German. And she was recently diagnosed with a brain tumor in the language center of her brain. The problem is trying to remove the tumor without destroying her ability to speak her languages. Her treatment will give doctors at UCLA a rare opportunity to literally see how learning a language exercises the brain. So they remove the tumor out of her brain, but they have to ask her to speak in each of her languages. Like, they'll bring out a ball, and they'll have her say ball in each of her different languages. Mm-hmm. Now, they found out that all of her languages were not contained in this one specific language area of the brain.
Now, are they doing that while they're doing the surgery?
Yes.
So as they're cutting...
She has to be awake. Yeah. She has to, you know, she has to be aware. Otherwise, they can't remove the tumor. So they found out that the language areas that she learned these individual languages are contained all over her brain, and they're specifically mapped depending on which age she was when she learned them.
Hmm. So it's like filling up the hard drive. Like,
right.
It has to move around to fill up
next part of the hard drive. And actually, they're saying one of the things that they're advocating is playing video games. They said playing video games an hour a day for 40 days can reduce your brain age by 10 years. They're saying learning a language, learning an instrument, all of these things allow you – it is possible to teach an old dog new tricks.
As long as they play video games.
Yes, exactly.
Nintendogs.
I'll go to some of the other ones on my next turnaround.
Intriguing. Well, Aaron and I have the same news story.
Oh, yeah.
A new billboard advertisement for Sony's white PSP has caused consternation across the U.S. video game community. The ad shows a white model dressed entirely in white, threateningly grasping the face of a black model.
I have the picture here.
Next to them are the words, PlayStation Portable. White is coming. The ad can also be seen on the Dutch official PSP site.
What? So it will. There's we'll put that. A link to it on our website. But it's this white woman dressed in all white, grabbing the face of a black woman in kind of an abusive way.
Very, very Roots. Very, very LeVar Burton's hair in Roots.
Yeah, this is
right. But the white woman is very 80s Metal Storm.
Yeah,
we'll have a link to this on the website. You can go see the photo that we're talking about.
This is in what country was this?
Holland.
Holland.
Okay, what are we saying?
I think they deserve a little bit of flack for this, quite frankly.
I do not
agree.
I don't see this as being anything terribly horrible.
But you asked me before, he goes, well, if it was two white women, you wouldn't get upset. I'm like, yeah, because we're talking about a race issue.
Well, if it was a black woman doing it to a white woman, I don't think you'd get upset.
I think it would. I don't think it would probably explode as big. But again, here in the United States, there has been history that makes that direction.
But there isn't one in Holland.
Yeah,
but we're still seeing it.
Weren't the
just because it works in another? Why don't we?
Right,
weren't
they some of the biggest slavers across in the world, the U.S. gaming community? Right, a Dutch ad.
Yeah,
in Holland.
But we're still just because you do a tasteless ad somewhere else doesn't mean you have the right to do it.
Weren't the Dutch some of the biggest promoter? Weren't the Dutch some of the biggest promoters of apartheid in South Africa?
I have no idea.
That's what I thought.
Well,
I've never heard that.
I mean, if there was an ad of a Nazi doing that to a Jewish person in a country that didn't care, would you say, well, it works in that country?
I will also. I don't
tasteless.
See this as being that.
I mean,
you should have seen Don's
aggressive.
Expression on that
yeah,
one.
You really should have. The struggle.
No,
how
I
do
just
I get
don't.
Myself
I don't
out
see it as quite
of
the same
this
thing.
One.
Anyway, yeah. If you go to the our website, there'll
we
be a link,
a link,
and you won't see that Don is wrong.
Yeah.
Don is Icelandic and Hawaiian, so actually, this image sort of represents Don oppressing himself.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Icelandic Hawaii wars devastated both my people so long ago.
This is a interesting little bit of news. Nintendo recently gave George Bush a birthday present.
What?
Okay. They sent him.
What did they send him?
A Nintendo DS, the new light version, yeah. With Brain Age.
Oh, that's hysterical.
They now, actually.
I want to know what made George Bush's Brain Age actually is.
Oh, God.
So I think this is, you know, it's interesting that a company decided to do this and then promote it, make it, you know, public. Japanese company. Sending that over cross seas, making a little fun of
what
our
we,
president.
What do we say?
Well, in his defense, he didn't throw up on the Japanese prime minister this time around, you know? Not like his dad.
True.
Right.
But I don't know. I thought it was a little ballsy for
did
a
you
big
ever,
corporation like
did
that.
Did you ever see the Japanese Toyota? There was somebody had said when they brought Toyota over here, I can't remember the American business agency, but they specifically said to Toyota, you are only allowed to have 10 defective parts per 10,000 in every batch that you create.
Mm-hmm.
And so Toyota got this memorandum and they sent back their shipment. And they said, we don't really understand American big business practices, but separately enclosed are the 10 malfunctioning parts that you specifically asked for. We don't really like to do any malfunctioning parts at all, but, you know, here they are because you wanted them.
Yeah, but that's BS.
That's BS. That's not confusion. That's a little nose thumbing.
Yeah, exactly. Because we all have cars that come from over there that's broken as shit.
Yeah, they just did a recall of the Hondas, the Honda CRVs.
Specifically, my Toyota, which is directly linked to my bank account.
Yeah, your Toyota has like not only suffered injury upon injury, but is actually like one of the few cars I've ever met that suffered plague.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah, it had a trend.
A car that caught a virus.
Yeah, it had an
your
STD.
Car got that
it
weird
had an STD.
Like toenail disease on it. That was just funky.
It devoured its rear windshield.
Yeah, the plastic windshield that it caught from another car.
Ew.
I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, it didn't, you know, you got to remember to wear your car cover when you're in certain people's parking lots, you know.
Ew. All right, Peter. What do you got?
Okay, so both of my news stories are sort of semi-themed towards Superman. Semi-themed.
Okay.
But the first one is, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a piece of cellophane. Okay. Researchers have discovered that they can make cellulose flap like wings.
Okay. Oh, cellulose.
Cellulose.
Okay. I thought you meant cellulite for
a second.
And I was like, yeah.
since the 1950s, researchers have known that wood is piezoelectric. It bends slightly when put in an electric field. Researchers recently took cellophane, a lightweight paper made of cellulose, and deposited a very thin layer of gold on each side. The gold layers were connected to a voltage and acted as electrodes, with one side of the paper being positive and the other negative. When the voltage was turned on, the cellophane curved towards the positive side. When the voltage was switched, the paper bent towards the other side. If switched rapidly, the paper could flap like wings.
So they're going to make little
robots that fly.
Little
flying robots?
Butterflies, flying paper airplanes. You know, think of all the things you can use this for.
I'm trying to think of
think
all
of
them.
I can't think of a practical application. For
very small,
off the top of my head.
Well, very small robots. You can create like
tiny little insect robots that you could fly and spy on somebody.
Well, yeah. They also might make...
But you could do that already without
that technology. Yeah, they actually already do.
But they also can maybe make them into little miniature muscles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, instead of flapping, they could pull little teeny, like, you know, micro muscles.
There is Jiren is a company that's trying to make myomer muscle fibers and stuff like that.
Weird.
So, the second body myth, which I'm about to bust, is slow metabolism makes you fatter. We've all heard for years that people who are thin who have won the biological lottery, they look like they can eat whatever they want without gaining a pound. We think they're lucky to have a high metabolism. It's generally false that your metabolism is the reason for your weight. They went to the Mayo Clinic and talked to Dr. Jim Levine. They talked about a woman named Kathy Strickland, who's very lean, and a woman who's much heavier named Dawn Campion, who she's actually morbidly obese. Dawn's numbers are actually higher because we find continuously is that people with weight problems who have obesity have a higher basal metabolism compared to people who are lean.
So we just call it that, but we all talk about, I mean, there are people who can eat and eat and eat and don't gain weight, and people who, like, look at food and they gain weight.
Specifically, this is what they say. Your basal metabolism is the calories you burn to keep your body going. So if your body is bigger, of course your basal metabolism is greater, right? If your body is smaller, your basal metabolism is less. So if a slow metabolism isn't solely to blame, why is it that some people gain weight and others don't? People with obesity have a tendency to be seated, a natural tendency to be seated for 2.5 hours more per day, Levine said. It adds up to 350 calories a day or 30 to 50 pounds a year. Dr. Levine says it isn't about sweating at the gym. It's simple things like walking to your car or playing with your kids.
There are genetically people that are different. You cannot tell me otherwise that doctor's an idiot.
Right. Hey, I got to tell you, I'm on my feet all the time. I mean, like, just because my restless legs, and I'm sure that has something to do with the fact that
burning more calories. He's not saying that there are not genetic predispositions. Uh-huh. He is saying that you burn more calories when you're thinner because you have a tendency to stay up off your... And it's basically a vicious cycle. Even standing up at your desk can increase your metabolism by up to 40% if you're moving around.
You know, have you guys seen the new, like, stand-up desk things?
Yeah, I saw that.
Because there's a guy I used to work with who used to stack books on his computer because he would get antsy, go crazy. So he built this high desk and would sit there and stand while he worked.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me? So I'm here for like 15 hours. I'm not going to stand on this damn thing. I don't know. We may be calling it the incorrect thing, but it's not just, I mean,
it's not just that one.
What they're talking about is clearly probably a small contributing factor, but it's not going to make or break anyone's diet.
They didn't say that. Yeah. They seem to think that that's a big factor.
Yeah.
You know?
I've heard a lot of contributing factors over the years, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a collection. All right, Don.
All right, I have a news story / link, sort of. Magnetic floating beds are now a reality.
You have two of mine.
Two of yours.
You guys go to the same sources or what? You sank my sources.
Well, let's see. We've got enough magnets to keep 900 kilograms, that's almost one ton, floating in the air.
Have you seen this bed? I'll pass my version around.
Is now available through I believe it's another Dutch company. Yes, Dutch man. I cannot pronounce his name.
But it's $1 million.
Jan Jap Ruijsesnenner.
Jorgen Ferdinstube.
Ruijsesnenner. Bjork.
Now, will you be able to buy at IKEA later on?
Well, like you said, it's $1.2 million. Excuse me, $1.5 million. It's 1.2 million euros. So it's, no, not likely that we'll fund an IKEA anytime soon.
But they'll have, like, the cheap
snap-together
version.
But you've got to see this bed. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine what it would be like to literally sleep on air.
It looks like the monolith from 2001.
That's exactly what I thought.
Hovering.
But it actually looks a little forbidding. Like, if this was a wedding bed, I think people would prefer to go into the
bathroom. I think it's the room.
Well, there's no more
picture. Yeah.
Which is
no,
just
instead
wrong, really.
You're just shifting the poles of the earth.
Instead, there's...
Magnets, baby.
What happens if you have a metal hip?
That's a good question.
I can't get out of bed.
Well, also, what happens if you have like a a pacemaker. Artificial heart or something?
You don't crawl into bed with a hard drive.
Isn't magnetism supposed to do all sorts of things to you, physiologically speaking? So, like sleeping on an extremely strong magnetic field, maybe that could be really bad for you.
Yeah, well, we should find out. I mean, that's kind of an interesting concept.
There's some people who wear magnets around their wrists and all that, but I think that's all.
Yeah, well, Matt's used them before. I use them all the time for health stuff. So.
But you're always sick.
You're always talking about.
You're always like got.
He's always injured.
Oh, always injured, and that's why I use them.
Yeah, it's not that he's sick. It's
not so much the preventative medicine. Right,
he's always injured.
For those of you who don't know, someone threw Matt in some sort of martial arts throw, and then didn't let go of his neck when they were practicing it, and so he's got some tiny little issues.
Yeah,
in there.
With my neck. Now I can. So. Now I've toweled my head and given myself whiplash.
Yeah. So.
All right. Who's next?
My studiously staying silent on this subject.
Well, Don breaks me by looking at me.
I break a lot of people by looking.
So my second Superman story is about super mosquitoes living in Athens. Cramped housing conditions and air pollution in Athens have given rise to a super breed of mosquito that is larger, faster, and more adept at locating human prey.
That sounds like that bionic mosquito to me.
It sounds like man-skito to me.
Yes, well, normal mosquitoes are colorblind and can only smell blood 15 to 20 meters away.
Except for man-skito.
However, Superman-skito can detect humans at a distance of 25 to 30 meters and can also distinguish colors.
How would a mosquito use that information?
Don't know.
They go to Sony so they know what color of...
I'm not biting that one. He looks a little jaundiced.
These super mosquitoes are also larger by 0.3...
Superman-skitos.
These Superman-skitos are larger by 0.3 micrograms on average. And,
damn!
Ooh, they're Africanized.
I know. And whereas a normal mosquito has 350 beats per second of their wings, these will flap their wings 500 times a second. So I just want to say,
we'll hear them coming.
In trouble. They're coming after us.
The man-skitos.
We are not the only ones evolving.
Approach.
See, now we need to set the bump against the Africanized bees.
You know, it's like battle royale.
Like showdown at...
Two pests enter.
One pest leaves. And then we put out a little cage that goes... All right. Nothing will age you faster than the sun. Not true.
Is that a myth? Oh, that's a myth.
Completely a myth. Stress is the greatest ager of all, and it's the only thing we know that causes an increase in arterial aging, heart disease, strokes, memory loss, and immune aging, infections, and cancer.
So if you're worried about the sun
if you're
aging
worried about
you,
the
then
sun,
you're really
exactly.
Screwed.
So how does stress attack your body? That's exactly what Rodnell Glaser and his wife, Janet Kaikolt Glaser, have been studying for 25 years. Their research actually began as a marital disagreement. This is where one of those fights goes.
And one of them aged real quickly.
Right. Janet, a psychiatrist, believe stress harms the body. Ronald, a molecular virologist, did not. There were a lot of skeptics, and I was one of them, he admitted. And what better subjects to test for stress than the med students taking exams? What they found out after their two decades of research is that specifically ongoing niggling stresses are the ones that age you the most. Like if you have a task that you've left and it's just, I really should get that done, that's what age you the fastest, more than anything else. More than anger, more than traffic, more than things that you can directly stimulate. Specifically, the niggling little stresses, the woulda, shoulda, couldas that you have in your life are the ones that age you the fastest. We found out that even a minor stress can really slow how fast you heal. She also noted that when couples argued, they took longer to heal. For one nagging unfinished task, it puts on about 8 years on your life. So if you're 30, it makes you 38.
Wait, one nagging thing?
One nagging unfinished
task.
That's
idiotic. I mean,
hold on.
My whole day
Maybe what they're saying is if you're 30 and you're worrying about something, you're healing at the rate of a 38-year-old, not a
30-year-old.
Correct. Oh, okay. I thought it was adding 8 years. I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I would have been dead when I couldn't put my Tinker Toy set together when I was four.
They really are hugely aging. The great news is there are easy things each of us can do to ameliorate or modify it. The easiest way is to de-stress your risks of major illness just by simply bending, breathing, and laughing. Also, having lots of friends is the big one. So Geeks On does nothing for you.
There goes all my stress. I've laughed today.
I'm now young.
All together now.
You have another one, Don?
Nope.
This is just another rumor real quickly. Not much of a discussion, but there are rumors that Microsoft is going to try to come out with an iPod killer, another MP3 player, with you would need a service. They also are planning on coming out with a iTunes type of service. And one of the rumors is that they will give you a free version of their song for every song you bought in iTunes. So whatever song you bought in iTunes, the computer will scan, and you can download that song for free through their site. And they'll pay all the costs to the artists.
Here's the question, though. It seems to me that everyone who would want an iPod by now probably has a version of it, you know? They have the cheaper versions. Most people have got it. And it seems like everyone who's using the iPod is perfectly happy with iTunes. What possible features could they be offering that would
bigger screen
lure you
on
over
their video iPod?
Well, if they
they're also offering Wi-Fi download capability, so you don't have to plug in through a computer.
Oh, iPod doesn't have that.
I mean, they might
they're
have
also
all sorts
plugging
of
directly
things
into your brain, so you don't have to carry it around with you. You become a cyborg.
I want to stay with Microsoft. No, I don't.
We're not sure what features they're gonna come with. We're not sure what features they're going to come with, but they're going to try to outdo Apple. So this would be one of them. So they're going to say, listen, this is going to cost you nothing. You'll be able to transfer all your music through our website and get all those songs back on this one, and you can retire your Apple.
They're trying to get it when you know, your iPod dies.
I'd say, you know, we'll replace all the songs you have, and we'll give you one free song for every 10 that we're replacing.
Oh, my God. They would be
out of
I'm
business.
Surprised they can do this.
Well, probably what the deal is that they won't have to actually pay the artist because you've already bought the song.
Oh, no. You'll have to pay the artist. They're not going to make right. that. No artist is going to say.
You know, yeah, just let them hear it.
The average consumer who's happy with the service they're using.
Sure. Yeah. All right, Maddie, give us some more tips on how to stay young.
No.
Or healthy.
Well, I would say people can go to the article, but there's a bunch of other things.
Pale. That's my advice.
Yes. There's a bunch of other ones, but check it out. You know, heartburn leading to cancer, a bunch of other things. So check it out. I'll put the link up.
Excellent.
Oh, and you should know, men can really drink more alcohol than women. We are genetically predisposed to drink more alcohol than women.
Well, of course, when they're testing the poison berries, are you going to let a woman do it? No.
Right.
You must gallantly throw yourself on the poison berry bush.
Right. Very specifically an enzyme, which we get.
Peter's looking at me like I'm insane.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what?
Are you done, Peter? Are we done?
We're done. Moving
all
on.
Right, let's move on to this week's topic.
Woohoo!
So, Don.
So, Aaron.
Why don't you introduce us to our topic of the week?
Na 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 na
na na na na. Am I the only one who cannot sing the Star Wars theme song and then the Indiana Jones theme song and then sing the Superman theme song? I lose it along the way.
I can sing the old...
I've never tried to do the trifecta.
Okay, well, try to do the Star Wars theme song.
No.
We're
here to talk about Superman.
Everybody's trying it in their head at home anyway.
All right, kids. As some of you may have heard... Some of you may have even seen it. Superman Returns is now in theaters. It opened up late last week. So be forewarned, there will most likely be some spoilers in this podcast if you haven't seen it
already.
There
will be quite a bit.
He can fly. Nah, I killed it. We will probably spoil the entire film.
So Superman Returns is a continuation of the earlier Superman movies, although some people still fight me on that fact.
Mm-hmm. And I know why.
Apparently picks up after Superman 2. It doesn't seem to pay any kind of tribute to Superman 3 or 4.
Well, that's because 3 and 4 sucked.
Hey, somewhere Richard Pryor cries.
And so does that sun guy.
Sun guy.
Sun guy. Who is sun guy? Oh, God,
nuclear sun scratches,
I am the sunborg.
Man.
The sun cyborg.
So tonight we discuss the movie Superman Returns, the concept of Superman, and the concept of what Superman represents to all of us.
Woohoo! Shall we review the movie first to start it? Or
let's talk about the movie.
Sure.
I thought it was going to suck.
I thought it was going to suck hard.
Now, big, let's old, just say, sweaty balls.
Lisa Lasik, female geek, set up a great screening. 3D, go see it. Matt refused to go see it. We bludgeoned him into it.
Yeah. I did not want to give Singer any of my money for his opening week debacle, which I thought it was going to be. And... yeah. It was decent.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was better than X-Men. In fact, our you know, a couple weeks ago, we thought X-Men was going to be great. We thought Superman was going to suck. You know what?
Yeah. X-Men
Mea
was
culpa.
A bag.
Yeah. I made a mistake.
I'm going, and not only that, but I'm going to personally apologize to Brandon Roth. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Brandon Roth. I said some horrible things. I thought he looked like a complete tool in the suit. The production photos were terrible. He didn't look great in this. I still thought they had some costume issues.
Yes.
Costuming issues. But you know what? The problems I had with the movie, none of them were really his problem.
Yeah.
I thought he did a fine job, and
so what are some of the strengths of this movie?
Okay.
Like,
they did a great job of playing to what was going on inside the characters, the heart of the people, the emotions that they were dealing with, making all that come to life, whereas, you know, you looked at X-Men and they just... Okay.
So it's character-driven drama.
Character-driven.
Okay. And I think that was part of the fault of it, too, a little bit, because I think most people think it was a little too slow.
I think a lot of people walked into Superman expecting an action movie.
Yeah. Right.
And it is not an action movie. It doesn't try to be.
No.
Right? Almost all of the feats that Superman does in this movie are like him lifting things. And right. He just lifts progressively larger things throughout the movie.
Exactly.
The only thing he... Yeah, exactly. He's a man who lifts.
Yep.
He lifts like a mother in this movie.
Now,
I love when he lifted Asteroid M at the end of it. I was very impressed that Bryan
little
Singer...
X-Men cross over there.
Yeah, that Bryan Singer was basically like, I'm not only taking Cyclops, but I'm taking Asteroid M as well.
Yeah. Another strength of this movie,
who
I think, was...
don't know what Asteroid M is, what is Asteroid
M? It's Magneto's flying space fortress.
It's Magneto's fortress of not so much solitude.
Raining down whoop-ass.
The art design of this movie was amazing. It was a really strong... It really went back to Superman 1 and 2 as far as, like, Daily Planet goes. Though everything was updated. It was clearly the old Art Deco Daily Planet with the modern technological capabilities.
Also, they were bringing in lines specifically to tie it back to 1 and 2.
Yeah, you know, I think... Well, first of all...
Not so subtly, though.
The music did a lot of heavy lifting in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you would have... come up with a different soundtrack entirely, I don't think it would have been as impactful as it was. That music did a lot of work.
Well, John Williams.
But, you know, you could have created... another guy could write cool Superman music, but it wouldn't have been the same thing.
Right. They had me at the credits, specifically. As soon as they
both Lisa and
those
I freaked
credits,
out on it.
Right.
Lisa just grabbed
sucked,
my knee and
way.
Squeezed for her dear life when that first title sequence came flying out at her. She just lost her shit.
The credits may have sucked in terms of modern standards, but in terms of nostalgia...
No, I like the type, but that whole bullshit of the plants and stuff was like... it was terrible. But the music...
It was a modernization of the earlier version.
Oh, it was terrible.
You know? I liked it.
Did you see the Starship Enterprise that they had in one of the planets as they passed
from
by?
The 60s?
No, it was in one of the planets. Seriously, go look for it.
But again, you know, when he runs
Somebody's
down the street,
full of it.
When he runs down the street and he pulls off the shirt and the music starts playing exactly like the original Superman,
That
feeling that I got was there because
she faints exactly like the original.
Okay,
Superman.
Well, a couple other strengths here: the performance of the lead actor. What's his name?
Brandon Roth. It's the R-O-U-T-H. So you don't know whether he's
an unknown actor. I've never seen him in anything before.
Because he has a pretty good
been in anything.
He did a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job impersonating Christopher Reeves.
Exactly.
I thought he did a phenomenal job at it.
I thought he did only Clark Kent was impersonation. I thought he was kind of his own Superman.
I disagree
really?
Completely.
Okay. But I mean. It's not entirely a negative thing. The movie was such an homage to the first and second Superman movie.
Exactly. It was, I felt like it was more of a comic homage as well. Like, you got a sense that Bryan Singer, I love comics, you know, with the action comic shot with the car.
Yeah. Right.
That was a good little,
to fill that in, there's a scene where Superman lifts up a car, and as he puts it down, the front end dips down, and it becomes the famous cover of Action Comics 1 that introduced Superman, where he's carrying a car.
Yeah.
But my problem with his performance was that I never really got a sense of a new Superman. I always sort of felt that he was copying the old one.
I didn't mind a Christopher Reeve impersonation because I think Christopher Reeve still, to this day, did just about the best Superman job that I've seen.
Yeah.
If he was a hair older, I think he would have nailed it.
That's exactly one of my major
complaints. My big problem.
Yes. Is that everybody in this film...
is 14.
I was going to say four.
But it's a blatant appeal to the teenager audience, and I don't think it works.
And, and with his case, it was kind of a minor... it was kind of a little nag.
With her,
it was so utterly, absolutely stupid that it was really...
Yeah, she's got a five-year-old kid.
She's winning
the Pulitzer Prize, and she achieved all that since the last time he saw her when she was 15 years old.
Right. Exactly.
Like, and she's 22, maybe.
Yeah. And stretching it. 22.
And she won a Pulitzer like 4 years ago.
I felt uncomfortable looking at her with the Cyclops guy because he looks like he's mid-30s, you know?
Yeah. The other thing was that I don't know what they did with the makeup design, but everybody was airbrushed to a fare thee well. Nobody has any pores in this film. I mean, I think Don said, you know, Superman as shot by Playboy. I mean, everybody is just so utterly streamlined, pretty, chiseled. And, you know, I felt like, actually...
Even Perry White.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I was like, it's a famous old actor, and I'm sitting there looking at him going like, you're so airbrushed, I actually don't recognize you, even though I've seen you in every film since I was six.
That's Skeletor right there.
How did you guys feel about Lex Luthor?
I loved him.
That was
the Lex Luthor I always wanted.
Yeah. But... he had the same stupid plot as the first movie. It was the same movie.
You have to just kind of roll with that because the entire movie is the first movie redone.
Yeah.
I really was thinking, how hard is it
to come up with a new supervillain plot?
For God's sakes, he even got the same kryptonite from Addis Ababa, which he does in the first movie. It is from Addis Ababa.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and when you go in and he breaks into the thing and you look at the little key card, it says Addis Ababa on the...
A friend of mine pointed out the only thing she really noticed that was a change from the first movie and this one was his henchmen in this were competent and sinister.
Yeah. Except for Cal Penn, who is, you know, Kumar from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
But he was just a tech guy.
He's just a generic... bad guy. I mean,
he's a generic bad guy. He's a decent actor. He doesn't say two damn words in the entire film. And the first thing that Parker Posey looks at all of the henchmen there, right? And her comment goes, I don't like these fellows. And they cut to a shot of Cal Penn, who is the least intimidating henchman in the history of henchmen.
I think that was just an editing problem.
And then he says, you know, you got to deal with the guys in prison because even my life is not worth the spoon that they shove into your ribs or whatever it was.
Now, Lisa actually had an interesting point. The bald guy with the tattoo in the back of his head.
He was badass.
He was badass, but Lisa said that she thinks he's actually, in the beginning, they talk about the clown killer.
That was Don. Don said that.
Yeah. The clown killer.
They set him up.
Yeah.
But they didn't set him up enough, because I was the only one who noticed.
Well, yeah, he's also dead.
Sorry?
So they didn't set him up too well. He's dead.
No. They set him up so that you felt like he was the clown killer.
It added an extra level of a menace, because I think they refer... I think. I'm vaguely remembering this now. They referred him as being the birthday clown killer. Mm. So it kind of implied that he killed children.
List. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? So that's why there's sense of menace as he's
sort of John
sitting
Wayne
down
Gacy
next to the kid.
Mm. About him.
Wow. Yeah. That was a stretch.
Now, the person who played Lois Lane... Who was
okay,
this?
my other big flaw.
Kate Bosworth.
She was a perfectly adequate leading lady.
Yes.
Perfectly adequate. I have no problems with her.
In Blue Crush.
As far as being in the movie, but she was not Lois Lane.
No,
she was not very spunky. She was. Now I'll tell you the one thing they did really well with her was they beat the crap out of her in ways that made you really worry about her. You know.
Yeah, but she should. Lois Lane always gets herself into trouble. To a fare-thee-well, and she does it with attitude and aplomb. And I felt like Kate Bosworth was sort of a prop that they put out with the kid prop.
Who blundered into danger as opposed to investigating her way into it.
Yeah, like Lois Lane got into trouble because she refused to stay out of trouble.
And she wouldn't back
down.
I'm going
to the burning building via the story. And then she'd get in too deep. And this was like she'd just fall into trouble.
Right.
You know?
And let's bring the kid along and leave the cell phone
again,
in the car.
Again, that's not her fault.
Yeah,
that's
she just made
thing.
Too many dumb moves that made me lose sympathy for her.
Yeah, I always like when they make the Lois Lane character so she makes too many smart moves and she outthinks herself into a bad situation.
Okay, before we move on to whether we like it or not, what did you guys think about the, this is a big spoiler, Super Kid?
I loved it.
I'm fine with it.
I think it was done incorrectly.
I think thought they were going to go somewhere with it, very specific, and actually make it a human issue, because the kid looks at his inhaler right afterwards, and maybe it's my, you know, cutesiness, but I thought they were going to show that she, the reason why the kryptonite did not affect him when Lex brought it over to the kid was that Lois, in order to keep him normal in front of her current lover, had been dosing him with low-level kryptonite. Right,
see, I gotta tell you, Matt. I do think this is a pretty messed up idea.
Well, she's. You know,
I would have disliked her so much.
Well, he's
if she'd
constantly
been poisoning her child.
So her child is being poisoned. This is. Okay.
You did get what they did with the inhaler, though, right?
Is the mother out of the sixth?
What? You got the point of the inhaler and how he was using it.
Not really.
Okay, remember in the beginning when Superman falls and he stops himself and he flies for the first time?
Yeah.
And he looks to the left at the glasses he dropped, and you kind of realize he doesn't need them anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
They did the exact same shot with a kid with the inhaler. He shoves the piano, looks at the inhaler to his left, starts to move for it, and then doesn't use it because he doesn't need it anymore.
Tell me what a great conversation would have been is if the piano scene was gone and we still got the looks. Lex Luthor said, whose baby is that? Whose kid is that? We have the scene where he pulls the handle like he's going to rip down the door, but the guy opens it up from the other side. That we would be talking about whether he was his kid or not.
That's true.
A way better, way
that's
better.
That's true. Because I was questioning up until that point, and I was like, oh, of course.
Yeah, okay, now. But before it was like, oh, cool, now we're going to be talking about until the next movie whether it's his kid or not.
Yeah,
well,
true.
Now it's ruined. And now...
You never know. Lois could have done Captain Marvel in the meantime, you know?
But see, this brings up several problems. Now they can't ignore it in the next movie.
Right.
Period. Cannot. It's got to be a major issue. So we're now... If you ignore it, you're like, what the hell? If it was teased, you could keep teasing it. But now you got to really deal with it.
Yeah.
And two, if it really is a sequel to the first and second movie, someone brought this up in our message boards, then does she remember being married to Superman or not?
What do you mean, with the
kiss? He kissed her.
The kiss
and
that erases her memory?
Right. Does he remember or not? Does she remember or not? If she does remember, she writes the story about... spending the night with Superman, which won her the Pulitzer. No, that didn't win her the Pulitzer. She writes a story about a night with Superman.
Right.
Does she remember or not? If she doesn't remember, she's like just miraculously knocked up. She just suddenly she's got a kid in her.
Okay,
I think
she remembers.
Okay, well then two.
Well, hold on. There's no reason to assume that she didn't sleep with Superman, Superman between movies.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no reason to assume that.
Wait, so he kissed her and went through all that, and then they had another relationship?
Well, you're running on the assumption that he just kind of flew off after the second movie immediately.
Right.
I don't see that something that needs to be assumed.
But the whole point of the end of the second movie is he realizes he can't have that relationship anymore. That's the point.
Well, look, I mean,
he can't bring her all the way in.
Maybe it's not picking up exactly.
Okay, here's number two. Lisa and I were talking about this.
Okay.
She's so broken up that he left... that she goes and meets a guy that she's going to marry within weeks of him leaving.
But has not chosen to marry him after 5 years.
Remember, this guy has to think it's his kid. So the Superman had sex with her, he leaves, and within a week or two, this other guy she meets has sex, tells him she has a baby, and they get married.
She's not married.
Okay, whatever. But you see what I'm saying? She's so heartbroken that she's got this. She's tricked this other guy. You know what I mean? There's a time problem here.
Well, she's
hold on. Just a logistical question. Is it ever presented that he believes the child is his biologically?
No,
it's implied.
It's
not presented.
I don't think it's necessarily implied. A lot of people have stepchildren nowadays. They think of their own.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
There's no reason to assume he believes it's his child biologically.
Right. That's a good point.
I don't believe
that
they ever spell that out.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll move on from that. I think the kid thing really screwed. I think they screwed it up.
I'm going to run on the assumption that Bryan Singer has a plan, and I think I trust him enough to be willing to see where he's going to go with it.
I'm curious.
I just like that. I finally know where Cyclops went.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Where did Cyclops go?
So enough about the movie. I like the movie. In fact, I thought it was better than all three of the X-Men movies.
And that's the fifth sign right there. The fifth sign of the Armageddon.
Yes.
Aaron likes a movie.
I didn't think it was great. Trust me.
Oh, thank God.
That's only the fourth sign.
But I really thought it was close. And again, I want to make an apology to Brandon.
All right.
Even though he was pretty.
Let's move on to Superman in general. Let's talk about Superman in terms of not just, you know, the movies, but in terms of TV shows, in terms of comics. You know,
now, Matt, you're big on Superman.
Yes. I love Superman.
Well, I don't read that many comics. I really can't comment on that, but I think I definitely can comment on what, you know, why this character has survived. I mean, Superman's the oldest superhero.
Yeah.
See, now, I like the idea of Superman, but I prefer him in very small doses.
Right.
Like, to me,
you're much more of a Batman kind of guy.
Well, yeah, but here's my reasoning. Superman can do anything, right? So where's the fun in following someone who can do anything?
I love not only Superman, I love the progression that Superman has made. Originally, Superman was a science fiction character. He was a guy who came from a planet with a much higher gravity, mm-hmm. who basically had inherent abilities. He could not fly. He can leap tall buildings in a single bound because he has the innate gravity, you know, because he came from a planet with a red sun.
He's a heavy
worlder. Yeah, exactly. So I love the fact that he innately was originally an alien who was, and in many ways, you know, you can see in Siegel and Shuster's creation of Superman that he's creating the idea of an immigrant Jew, of the idea of a Samson, of a Superman through that sense.
Not so much the immigrant Jew, so much as the Messiah Jew.
Well, yeah, the Messiah, the Messianic Jew, but also the Messianic immigrant Jew who is really trying to come to this country and make it and live the American ideal as best as they can with the, you know, with what talents they've been given. You know, and I love that aspect of Superman constantly saying, and it's very Peter Parker like saying, I have all of this power. I don't just have the power of Spider-Man where I can, you know, bust up some cars. I could wreck this planet single-handedly. And yet I got to hold that under control. And I love that about Superman.
See, but by the flip side, I find that a little dull when the main focus is on him, because I never have seen any sort of internal mental struggle about that. It's just, no, I was raised by good Lutherans, and I, you know, hey, I went to the website, it says he's Lutheran.
Yeah, I read that too. But,
you know, Superman, I think, is very different from most of the other heroes. I think we like him for different reasons.
I love him for his nobility, very specifically.
In fact, we like him as a role model, whereas the other heroes, we don't like them as role models, we like them as people. And Superman,
we like that they can do what we can't or we don't allow
Superman
our citizens to do.
Right.
Superman also becomes this unattainable role model.
Absolutely.
You know?
But he sort of, I mean, number one, he is like the perfect person inside. He's a Boy Scout.
Yep.
Okay. Then he's a perfect person on the outside. I mean, whereas other people will have a power or two, like Wolverine, you know, he is someone who...
he heals and cuts things.
He heals, he cuts things, and maybe he's got more keen senses. I mean, Superman's powers are like a laundry list.
Yeah.
Okay, he's invulnerable.
And I think they still grow depending on who you...
According to the movies, he's got a little bit of, like, telepathic mind-sucking action going on through his lips, too, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, but he's invulnerable. He can fly. He can see with X-ray vision. Mm-hmm. He can shoot heat lasers out of his eyes.
Breath.
He has the super breath.
Super speed.
I mean, super speed. I mean, it's like he's...
He can freeze things,
yeah. You know, with his breath.
That's one of the things that I love that they did in this movie, and I didn't think they took it far enough. One of the best aspects of the Death of Superman comics was that they went, what happens if Superman dies? There is no physical way, no superhero, nobody who can help him back to life no matter what. No matter even if he was normal, his abilities would be recoverable. You know, nobody can give him CPR. There's
that
nobody
would have been
strong
an
enough.
Awesome, tragic,
you know,
thing.
You know, and they tried to do it, but they only did it for this second in this film, and I really felt like they could have gone farther with it, where you were like, oh my God, there is nothing anyone can do.
You mean the needle?
Then yeah, they just broke the needle and they tried to shock him. And I was like, come on, go with it.
That was actually
you need to have seen the downfall of humanity. He helps us, but there's nothing
we can
do.
And I felt like that would have been a great moment to really drive it up.
See, I actually went in a different direction with that scene. I felt a little let down in that scene because we didn't get to see people being heroes. You know,
right?
I would have liked to have seen. No, but we see two. We see Lois Lane and we see the boyfriend get to be heroes.
Yeah.
So he comes back down as a comet, right? And then the next thing we see is him being wheeled into the hospital.
Right.
People trying to help him out. Right? And just kind of a blur.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen, like, you know, the fireman going down into the flaming
hole
trying
to
pull him out.
And he's, you know, trying to put him out. And they've got to hose him down.
Him maybe thrashing in the ambulance, being a danger to people around him, but them trying their best to restrain him and get them to where he can heal him.
That would be
people
cool.
in the hospital fighting to fix him, you know. But no, we don't really get to see that.
No.
And I can understand that choice; it's acceptable. But I think it was a missed opportunity that would have heightened some of the things they were trying to get at with the movie.
Right.
Well, there's a couple of opportunities that were in the movie that they dabbled in mm-hmm. that I thought that they really didn't do. Like when he gets, we're essentially in a movie with no climax. He gets beaten up by these thugs, and it should have been heart-wrenching, but it was so short, and there wasn't enough agony to it that it didn't feel that.
I wanted to see them getting payback. I wanted to see him bringing them to jail so that
Posey's reaction to the beating up scene seemed a little over the top.
Yeah. It was a little bit push for me. But one of the things that they've done so well on the Smallville series, and I thought they were trying to do really with this film, is to provide us with Superman's humanity. I mean, that's the one gift that we've given him is his humanity. And in terms of superheroes, Superman is the only one whose secret identity is actually the put-on. You know, everybody else, when they're, you know, Bruce Wayne is actually Bruce Wayne.
Right.
He becomes Batman. That's his alternate identity.
Exactly.
You know, Superman is the only one where he's actually Superman. He puts on Clark Kent.
Right.
He puts on the human being of Clark Kent. He is not that in any way, shape, or form. You know,
it's the moment that he pretends to be a human being.
Right.
He's not. He's an alien.
He's an alien.
You know.
Right. And he's the only one who puts on this thing. So I love, you know, the actor of Superman and him saying, I have to be human. And I would have loved to see them go farther with things like, you know, when he gets bumped around with people, they did one in a Smallville episode where he's this thing where he's always trying to take the impact from people.
Right.
So that he looks clumsy. He has to fake being, you know, so he doesn't hurt people if he just stands still.
If he walks through a hallway in a high school, he's going to break arms.
Yeah.
If he brushes by people.
Right.
This is something...
Well, I don't know that he would break arms. I mean,
if you had a guy walking that fast without moving at all, that would be like a steel...
He's not walking that fast. That's the thing. A car can bump into you moving at a slow rate. It'll knock you over, but
I also don't entirely agree that Clark Kent is entirely the put-on. I'm not saying... I think both of them are him. Just playing up different aspects of himself.
You think because he grew up as Clark Kent that it is him?
I think Clark Kent is where he... Yeah, I do.
I always remember the original comics where they talk about Superman. And he puts on the glasses and he slumps his shoulders. And he specifically tries to act smaller. And he tries to be geeky. And he doesn't have any of these traits. He's acting. So when he's Clark Kent, he's acting. He's always acting. He's
especially
making
in the movies. In the movies, he's always the bumbling fool.
You know? I mean, his whole resistance with Lois is, do I tell her who I really am?
Well, here's the thing. When he interacts with people, and this is not just a movie comment. This is, again, comic book comment and my perspective on it. When Superman interacts with people, he's Superman. He is the ideal. He is God on Earth.
Right.
So people are not interacting with another person.
But he's not.
They're interacting with a deity.
He does have emotion, as we saw when in this film where he goes and
he may have emotion, but that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
People are interacting with him in that manner.
Right.
When he's Clark Kent, people are interacting him as another person, and he's not good at it, you know?
Yeah,
he's still trying to learn that. That's not him putting on an act like, oh, I can't get close to people.
Well,
he's not good at it.
I disagree. He's still putting on an act.
Yeah.
He's still pretending to be clumsy. He's still pretending to be something else. He may still also not be good at certain things because you know, after all, he's
doing this.
I'm
only
granting that he's pretending to be clumsy, but that's just one small feature.
He's keeping people at a distance so that his enemies don't get to them.
I don't agree that he's trying to keep people at a distance. When he's Clark Kent in this movie, he's continuously trying to make connections with Lois.
With Lois. But with Lois, he's also always trying to show her who he really is. He's always pulling off the glasses and suddenly he straightens up.
Would be easier. If he revealed that he was Superman, it would be the Superman relationship again. It wouldn't be the person-to-person
anymore.
But
his Superman relationship with her is intimate.
It's
probably the only relationship he has is with Superman that has any human aspect to it.
That's actually what creates the conflict with the character and makes him interesting is the fact that he has this question, do I show this person this? I mean, if he were to come out of the closet, so to speak, he were to
Superman
reveal,
is gay.
Or out of the phone booth, so to speak, if he were to reveal who he really is, what makes him interesting would probably evaporate. I mean, you know, it's like that's his
only conflict.
That's
the only conflict.
I wish suddenly he would just be everything above board, and it would be uninteresting.
I wish, though, they would explore in a movie, in a film, they dabbled in it here with special effects these days. They can pull this off, but the power of a god among humans, it's never really that. That causes trouble, too.
It tends to be done in comedy. Star Trek did it a couple times.
Yeah, but I think it would work in a Superman movie. How do people... Not everybody's on your side if you're a god among men. And it affects the way you can relate to people if you're a god among men.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do. And I think that could be explored even further. I'm sure it has been done in some of the comic book series, but I think it would make an interesting film.
Well, the comics has run out of steam on Superman a series of times. He has had to be recreated.
Well, they've killed him off and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is the core issue. I mean, the core issue is that when you have someone who really has no weaknesses, when they're only...
No weaknesses, speaking morally, power-wise, physically, morally, and spiritually.
Yeah,
no
I mean, the only weakness he has is kryptonite, and how often can you use that without getting boring?
Well,
he also can't...
And magic.
He has to
first season of...
magic, illusion, you know. So, you know, the things that have actually done, I think, a very good job of reinventing him have been actually Smallville. I mean, because he doesn't have all of his powers yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not fully invulnerable. He's not fully powered up. His super speed doesn't always work. You know.
And
it's
Smallville
like,
has done things with twisting the myth, which I think has been genius.
Right. His superpowers. It's usually just the myth itself. Yeah. His personal problems.
What we were talking about in the movie is his only major connection being Lois Lane. In the TV show, you've got more connections too, which makes him more interesting and more human. You know, but with Superman aside, right? The Paladin, right? The pure Boy Scout thing. Are we done with that? Are we past that as a society?
I don't think we ever will be. I think.
Can you give us another example of a Paladin?
Captain America.
Captain America is also a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
What about Luke Skywalker?
I haven't read enough of the comic to know.
Is Luke Skywalker considered
his name
a
is Captain America?
No, he goes to the dark side.
But, you know, Captain America was also a very...
Doesn't he? No, he resists the dark
side.
Well,
actually, from what I understand, in what would be episodes 7, 8, and 9, he goes to the dark side and then has to be kind of recovered, if they ever did it.
Yeah. Who it was. Says who?
The Timothy
George
Zahn.
Lucas, because that's written down somewhere?
Actually says the comic books that they made.
The comic books or the Timothy Zahn books?
Comic books is one I saw.
Because in the novels, he starts his own little school and jaunts around.
And the twins are born.
Well, in the comic books that I saw, 7, 8, I mean, in the comics I saw, the Emperor's not dead because he's found a way to jump into clone bodies of himself.
That's based on the Timothy Zahn novels.
Okay.
Not counting those because, you know, who knows. I mean, is Luke Skywalker considered a paladin?
I think so.
Meaning,
but I think Luke Skywalker's journey is the journey to become a paladin. It's not a paladin already pre-existing.
So you think he has flaws?
Yeah. I mean, Luke has this whole thing where, you know, one of the things at the end of it is his rage. Is constantly Yoda, you know, going down in the tunnel and he's angry, so he cuts off Vader's head. And, you know, he you know, he doesn't
Paladins
do what's,
can be,
what you're
get angry.
Absolutely. Well, he does this whole thing
where
he gets...
we're big on wrath when it comes to our paladins. We're fine with our paladins getting angry
right.
and killing the bad guy.
And,
you know?
And but Luke That's cuts off his like hand the and then throws away his lightsaber. Mm-hmm. He throws away his lightsaber, and that's what makes him a Jedi, is choosing that path.
I think there were plenty of paladins in the film, in like cowboy movies and all sorts of stuff at one point, but I think
that was the time period when Superman launched.
We have definitely gone the way of the anti-hero much more. Yeah. That is much more attractive now, Shades of Grey, which I don't particularly like. I like White Hat, Black Hat.
I know.
I enjoy it. I think it's. I don't like it necessarily all the time,
but I think
there's a place for it.
It seems to me that most all of the paladins you brought up, including Captain America, mm-hmm. launched in a time period when that was the fashion.
Oh, Captain America mm-hmm. is you know? Straight out 1942,
exactly.
Us versus the Red Skull, you know, the Germans.
Luke Skywalker is a callback to...
Yeah,
Wonder Woman is a paladin. That's true.
A hot paladin.
Actually, I think I can actually.
You thought she's hot.
I think I can actually see a place that you could take at least the comics of Superman, if it hasn't been done yet, that would be really interesting. Which would be, you have to let Superman lose his moral superiority. You have to have let Superman basically say, at a certain point, you know what.
I'm sick and tired of this crap,
and I'm going to start setting the rules.
What they did in the Kingdom Come comics, don't you?
To a certain degree.
He just goes after the new superheroes, whoever.
No, he also kind of says, we're going to administer the world the way it should be.
We're going to do it
the way he really does.
Been a lot of Elseworld comics where they had Superman to say, screw this, I'm going to run the world the way it should be, mm-hmm. Including ones where his descendants...
Yeah,
inherited his a certain degree to his powers and ran the world.
Yeah, I'd like to read that.
I don't remember where it was, but I remember reading.
In the death of Superman, also the split offs, the various Supermans that when his essence is trying to find a home. So
I hate
there's
that.
Yeah,
is that the five? Is that
the four Superman?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, Steel and whatever. But some of them were sort of rambunctious and obnoxious and tried to rule the world.
You know, but so, would Buffy the Vampire Slayer be a paladin?
Yeah.
She's an anti-hero.
But she's... I think she's...
How is she an anti-hero?
Buffy is... she's... From the little I've seen of it, mm-hmm. She seemed to take darker choices and things. She was not always...
Towards the end. But
that
I think...
That was season 4 and 5.
Yeah, the bad season.
When they had nothing else to write.
But I specifically... They'd run out of paladinic stuff.
Yeah, but I specifically think that Buffy's like Luke, is that her journey is the journey to become a paladin, you know? Mm-hmm. In the end of it, she makes the choice of, you know, of sacrificing someone else. But of sacrifice, we think she's going to sacrifice herself, to sacrifice to become a paladin. In the same way that Luke does.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we definitely wanted to get in. I know we've been talking a lot about comics in the last couple months.
Yeah.
Not like that's a problem, but we do have Comic-Con.
We're
going
to wander over to some other stuff. I think we haven't touched on role-playing in a long time. We'll probably dip into that.
Exactly.
We have a couple things to review involving role-playing books that have been sent to us mm-hmm. and a couple board games that have been sent to us.
And Eris and I played Doom, the board game.
Ooh. How was that?
I thought it was pretty good.
Something we will have to discuss in the future.
Exactly. So, So,
do we have any mail or links?
Don't have any links, but we do have a bit.
We do have a bit to
a
wrap
bit!
Up our show on.
A bit of what?
A bit of a bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, geeklings and geekettes, Geeks On is very proud to announce the return of Limericks.
Wait a second. Geeklings and geekettes? Does that mean geeklings is inherently male? It's like man.
Yeah, I suppose. I'll have to rework that.
Geeks could be like a
geeks and geekettes.
Geeks and geekettes.
But women can be geeks.
They can also be geekettes.
I guess men could be a geekette if they wanted to.
If they really wanted to.
Gender in the geek community. Next on Geeks On.
A little more effort.
So this probably isn't going to be long. We just have a couple of geek limericks this week. We haven't done it in a while. I always love doing limericks, so I always push for this bit. But, you know, we just did one or two each, so this episode wouldn't
last. I only
did
one, so I'm not going first this time.
I have two. Anybody else have
one? I got one.
All right, so you lead us off, and you're going first.
Okay. Well, this is my Superman limerick. And my apology. There was a young man named Brandon whose face was so pretty I panned him for the role of Superman, yet now I'm a fan. The ill will towards you I abandon. Thank you.
Well, Aaron's like gushing. I've never seen him gush.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just felt bad that I really thought this guy was going to be a complete a-hole in this movie, and I did say a lot of things, so I'm going to step up and say that I was wrong to do it.
I thought he was hot.
I think
he
just liked the airbrushing. Yeah.
The guy's pretty hot, though.
Those red shorts seem fairly fully packed.
I like the fact that he wears his underpants on the outside. All right. X-Men was not so hotter. Superman? Yeah, I sort of bought it. But I have to admit, what I thought was a hit was The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, really?
My geek card has been revoked, but actually I have to say,
I'm scowling at you right now.
I saw it. It's a great movie. Okay. It's really well put together.
Is Anne Hathaway hot?
I don't really have a thing for her.
Oh, my God. I have a thing for Anne Hathaway.
I scowl.
All right, Matt.
All right. There was a director named Singer who thought Superman should be prettier. Even with a CG package erase, he found it hard to focus on his face, and that's why the camera does linger.
Okay.
Got it.
There once was a man from Krypton whose movies were two films too long. While the first was just fine, and the second divine, 3 and 4 sucked kryptonite dong.
All right, so bring us out with the bang.
Wait
there,
a minute,
Matt.
You put dong on the end of all your limericks.
I do. There's only so many rhymes for ong. I was like, right. Schlong or dong, that's pretty much
it. This one's not a Superman limerick. This one is dedicated to an argument that Matt and I had while role-playing once.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Which unfortunately derailed the game session a little bit.
Yeah, well.
So.
This is. I'm looking forward to this.
I'm glad someone is.
Okay. Matt King sat quietly on a plane.
Oh, no.
Questioning his reference of frame. Now, how can I eat the speeding peanut treat? Relativity will ease my throat pain. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is this the ferry moving forward on a speeding spaceship thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Just to summarize real quick, so people are slightly clued in.
Yeah, please, Don.
We had a role-playing game where one of the characters was playing a ferry,
mm-hmm.
and that ferry had to move forward in a spaceship that was accelerating past the speed of light.
Yeah, it was accelerating.
No, something.
We were in an airplane, a skyship.
No, it was a skyship, it's accelerating.
And we ended up breaking for like 45 minutes in order to debate whether or not it would be possible for the ferry to move on an airplane, because the airplane was moving at such a speed that by moving forward on the airplane, the ferry would be moving faster than the movies.
If it was accelerating, okay, she would have problems.
That was my point.
Alrighty. I had to make
it. I'm disturbed just remembering this.
Okay, do we have any other news, links,
That's
reviews?
It. We are outie.
We'll do some stuff next week, some geek mail.
Exactly. Yeah, we have lots of mail.
Which
so.
Geek mail?
Oh, it looks like we are wrapping up our most impromptu session of Geeks On ever.
Woo!
We decided to do about 3 hours ago.
Exactly.
Like Geeks On, go!
Do it now, go!
Run! Go!
Alrighty, have a good geek week, everybody.
Be well.
See you next time. Bye.
Geek it out.